You are listening to a podcast by Reverend Didi Arikakith from the United Methodist Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry in Tucson, Arizona.
This summer, did you guys have a good summer? This summer taught me something spectacular. With Shrek 3, Spider 3, Treasure Island 3, Bourne 3, did I miss any other ones? Halo 3. So I've learned if something goes over really well, then you make the sequel. So tonight we're kicking off Minor Prophets, Major Messages, Part 2. And we are going to start talking about some prophets. And today I really want to talk about what is a prophet, what are the minor prophets, and are there prophets today? Now, I said talk about. I may not have all the answers to all the questions, so you'll have to keep coming week after week. Or just email me. You know, we'll go have lunch. And usually if we go have lunch, I buy. So if you have a question about prophets or about anything that I raise in a sermon, just know that give me an email and we'll talk about it more. So we're going to start off with just a little bit. I wanted to talk to you about Old Testament terminology. We toss around these words like prophets and other ones quite often, but do we know what they are? So we hear about Moses. He was the lawmaker, the lawgiver, actually. God made the laws. And Moses passed them down to everyone. And they were, then there were the priests. And the priests were like the administrators of the law. That's kind of like me. And then there were the wise men. Do you know who the wise men were? Who are the wise men? Oh, there you go. So, you know, wise men, they appeared in, they're philosophers. They appeared in the story of Christ's birth. These are guys who give counsel. They also could be known as, like, astrologers. And then there were the psalmists. And who, what did they do? Wrote psalms? Yes. I'm going to get you guys awake eventually. There are easy answers. And then there were the prophets. And who were the prophets? What did they do? Right. See, now we're talking. Prophets were like God's press secretaries. They are the spokesperson for God. The word literally means mouth of God. And I'm really sad Lauren's here, not here tonight, because we call Lauren the mouth. Okay, so the word literally means mouth of God, based on this Hebrew word called navi, which means like openness. So this person needs to be open enough to receive God's word and be able to explain it to everyone else. There's Deuteronomy 18:18, easy to remember. It says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak them to all I command him. So basically, that sums up what a prophet is. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, a prophet was God's spokesperson. And when they were given something to say, they had to say it. Now, everyone hear the story about Jeremiah? What's Jeremiah? Jeremiah was called by God, and Jeremiah's like, I'm but a boy. And God said, so? You need to do it anyway. Most prophets have a story, it's a call story, and it usually ends up with a little whining from the prophet, and God kind of saying, so, you need to do it anyway. It kind of sums up what a prophet is. It's someone who has to say what God tells them to say. We have a scripture here, and I'm not going to divide you up into girls and guys, because that was deadly last time. So, why don't we just read them together? He said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? A prophet told a few things. He told what was forthcoming as well as foretelling. Basically, the direct message of what God was saying. And he also could predict what was to come. Like, people, if you don't do X, Y will happen. You with me? And God's word often pertained to future events. If you don't change, then, you know, something bad's going to happen. But a lot of what the prophets talked about was not actually just about the future. It was really talking about them changing what was happening right now, the current events. God was trying to reach out to them and change that relationship that they had with each other, as well as with each other. And sometimes it was calling them to rise up to a task. And so I have another scripture for you. This one comes from Malachi. Join with me. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with the curse. Basically, God says, you either be nice to each other or like the plagues are coming. So he's asking them to do something to change their ways. And while they're predicting the future, it really is about changing the now. They were there to change those relationships deep down inside. So let me ask you, how do you know a false prophet from a real one? Prophecy comes true, yes. Any others? Chelsea is right. She's totally right. I want you to put your place in what time period where there were lots of prophets. And this took place when there were lots of kings. And that's why we talked about kings earlier on in the semester. But a king, powerful, ruler, surrounded themselves with a bunch of prophets. Now, if you worked for the king, and the king's like, you know, I really want to go to battle against this neighboring town and get their land. And you were the prophet that said, yay or nay, what would you say? Now, keep in mind, if you went against the king, you usually died. So what would you say? Yay! Now, the hardest part is standing up to a king and really telling them the truth. If God had said, don't do it, how do you have those two dilemmas? You have an earthly king who's putting pressure on you and a godly king putting pressure on you. So it was really hard to tell the truth, especially if God was telling you to say something that was against what everyone wanted you to say or what the king wanted to do. So real ones were known by if it came true. The hard part is you usually don't know that until when? After your army is slaughtered, after, you know, you lose the election or whatever happens. You're like, oops, I guess he was not so good. To also know, most prophets, all prophets, had a call. They had a call that God called them into this time where they were to speak God's word. We also know that real prophets usually have a good track record. If they were right all these other times, then chances are they'll probably be speaking the truth and they'll be right again. You can always pretend that what you prophesized was good the first time, but the second time may not be so easy. So if they have a good track record, we'll know it's true. 1 John says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you could recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Well, what do you think that means? In other words, false ones are tricky. They're devious. They sway you away from what the core of God is and who Christ is. Not to mention the false outcomes, right? Are there ones today? Anyone say no? Okay, we'll have a time for sharing. I think that's our food for thought question. Yeah, I mean, if there are people out there straying you from what God's teachings are, telling you things that you want to hear, but not necessarily what you need to hear. Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, beware of those false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns? Or figs from thistles? Think about that. So what are the minor prophets? There are all sorts of prophets out there. There are oral ones, like Samuel. Who was Samuel? Think last few weeks. Who was Samuel? Yeah, he advised Saul. Right on. I'm handing out treats next week. Okay. And Nathan. Nathan was the advisor to David, and Nathan is the one that totally exposed David for having his adulterous affair. So you have Nathan and Samuel, and they were great prophets, but they don't get their own book. So they were oral prophets. We know about them through the stories and through the kings. And we have literary major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. They get their own books. And then we have literary minor prophets like Joel and Amos and Obadiah and so on. So what makes these guys minor? Anyone know? Yay! Length of their books. Not their message, hence the title. Not their message. It's actually just length of the book. So if you're going to start with a prophet, why not start with a prophet that's two pages versus Isaiah that has, like, you know, several chapters. So it's just the length of the books. There's 12 books in all. They start Hosea and they end with Malachi, and it's the 12 last books of the Old Testament. As prophets, they address the time that they're living in. Remember, it's specific about where they are and where they want to change those people. So understanding their message is also linked to understanding their political and social and religious happenings of the time. I have a couple slides just to break down what's going on, and we're going to fly through these. So this kind of gives you an idea. Keep in mind, this is all before Christ, so we work backwards in time here. So the 9th century before Christ, is Obadiah and Joel and Jonah. And this is when the kingdom is divided. There we go. The next is Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah. And this is when these guys are in the northern kingdom, and they're having their captivity and all that good stuff. Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Nahum, and Habakkuk were the next phase where they were defeated by the Babylonians. And then we have Ezekiel and Daniel. And these guys were prophets who were captive. Remember, Daniel was stuck captive with Nebuchadnezzar in the king's house. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And these are the most recent ones. If, you know, 5th and 6th century before Christ is recent. And these were after people were in exile, and this is when they got to come home. So these guys are prophesizing in, I think that's the last one, right? Yay! These guys are prophesizing in a time where they're in and out, the kingdom's divided, and the people are figuring out what they are. So you have different prophets prophesizing at different times. So, where are they today? This is the important part. So I got you to the historical part, so you have like a general idea. But this is where I want to leave you guys today. This is your think point of the week. Read with me. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. What changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Jesus, yes. I'm giving you easy answers tonight. Jesus, absolutely. He revolutionized how we were able to speak to the triune God. Man, when we're talking about 9th century, they thought God lived in a little ark, and they used to take it from town to town with them, seriously. And unless they were by the ark, they couldn't talk to God. And then Solomon, what did Solomon build? The temple. Whoa! And it was like the first time that they could actually have a building, and they were able to go in and worship God in this one place. And then they were thrown into exile, and they didn't even know how to worship God because God was, like, you know, miles away from them. But Christ came and walked and talked. And through the sacrifice of grace and our Lord Jesus Christ, and even though Christ had moved on and went back into his place with his Father, we were left with what? What descended on us like a dove? The Holy Spirit. And this allowed us a direct line with God at any time. So where can we talk to God? Anywhere. When? Anytime. Why? For any reason. So now, who is the spokesperson of God? We are. They're not needed because they've been phased out. They've been downsized, or rather, we've been upsized. We have placed to their positions. John Wesley believed that we could understand God in four different ways. And he had this theology, and we kind of understand this now as a Wesleyan quadrilateral. You have Scripture. By all means, we have Scripture that allows us to understand God and have that relationship. And we also have tradition, like what we've been passed down for ages and ages, like the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer. And we have reason, like, would God want us to kill people? No. Okay, like, so we have reason of, you know, maybe kicking your brother is not a good idea. You don't need God to say, don't kick your brother. But we have experience. Experience says anytime we experience God and share it, we are witnesses to God's work. Anytime we do what God asks, we are witnesses to the world of God's power and plan. And anytime we share our faith, we are like prophets, boiling up like a fountain, the mouthpiece of God, spreading God's message to all. I want you to close your eyes and think about this. Where is God calling you? How is God speaking to you? What is God asking you to say? Next week, we are going to hear from some of you guys, students that have willingly come to share their story and their experience of God so we may all hear their witness and understand God as they see. Because truly, as we share our stories and my experience of God and Marissa's experience of God and Grant's experience of God and Andrew's experience of God is all different. And when we share, we understand God just a little more. God is vast. God is huge. And as we share with one another, we get to know God all the more.